Hey guys, I'll let you figure out where I am. I'm at an undisclosed location. I'm actually waiting for some transportation right now, but you can see a pine tree in the background, a log cabin, and then you can hear in the background probably a babbling brook. So I will let you try to figure out where I am. I'll probably reveal it later on the podcast this week, but all I got is my cell phone to do a podcast. So it's going to be a short one, but I just wanted to follow up on the podcast from Friday on false teaching and false teachers, because I think there's some confusion in this area, and I think I understand why to some extent. And I want to explain my position. What I said was, I don't focus on whether someone who's bringing false teaching into the church is a believer or not, or what their final destination is, whether they're going to heaven or hell. I focus on the teaching they're bringing. And I want to explain to you why that is. I want to also try to explain to the best of my ability why there are people who differ with me, who are against critical race theory and social justice in the church, but they are unwilling to identify the people pushing these things as false teachers or what they're teaching as false teaching. They say it's secondary and that kind of thing. So I'm going to start with that. I think one of the main issues, and it might not be the only one, but one of the main ones is that there are those who will condemn people as heretics or false teachers at the drop of a hat. And they're very loud sometimes. And they'll say that someone who differs with them on something like eschatology, let's say, or mode of baptism, these kinds of things, is a false teacher. And I think I understand why people would not want to be lumped in with them or associated with them. And I think that does drive some of the reason why some of those who agree with me on the dangers of social justice don't want or are hesitant to call those promoting it false teachers. They don't want to be associated with those people, and they don't want to be guilty of what they're guilty of. They don't want to identify a non-essential doctrine as essential and then blast someone. And they certainly don't want to condemn someone to hell or something like that when they don't feel like they have the they don't have the justification for it. And so I think a few things, places that I disagree. I do believe that social justice teaching and critical race theory teaching in particular, I guess, since that was the topic of the last podcast, they do bring in false teachings, teachings that do threaten directly essential doctrine. And I've explained this before many times. I do believe that undermining objective truth, you're undermining everything that your statement of faith would rest upon. You can't really have a statement of faith if you don't believe in some kind of objective truth. If you are introducing categories of justice that are foreign to Scripture, you are tampering with the gospel. If you think that justice is, like Tim Keller said, I remember this was 2010, I think, an article in Christianity Today that, you know, we owe the poor as much as we can possibly give them. We owe it. It's an obligation, and it's based on need. Well, if you start to adopt this view of that, that's what justice is, and you start to say, well, it's based on need, then you can get yourself into this weird spot where everyone needs salvation. God doesn't give salvation to everyone. So is God then therefore unjust? Now you're threatening a character and attribute of God that is fundamental to who he is, fundamental to the gospel itself. You need to understand justice. And so there's things like that all over the place that show direct challenges to biblical doctrine. And that's why I don't have a problem, and there's many other reasons for this as well, but I don't have a problem saying, yeah, Tim Keller's a false teacher. Walter Strickland, by the way, who has been over and over shown to be importing a social justice Galatian heresy type of teaching into the church, is a false teacher. But many are swift to defend him, who agree with me that they're against liberation theology, they're against social justice, but they'll call him a good brother. And they honestly give him some credibility when they do that. And they are hesitant. They won't, in fact, call him a false teacher. And so I don't think that's helpful. I think that what he has done when he identifies certain aspects of the law with the gospel or says, you know, this, and you hear this a lot from people other than Walter Strickland, but this particular social justice teaching campaign, etc., is part of the gospel or necessary for the gospel or is a gospel issue, or, you know, this is part of the gospel above all, or this is just gospel, or what they're doing is they're attaching to the gospel some kind of work. And so I think there's a threat to the gospel here from the social justice movement. I also think There is a threat to a Christian metaphysic. This is a little harder to explain to people, but there's an ideological framing of reality, and which cherry picks things and does not allow you to see the full spectrum of the world that God created and what He wants us to see in that world. You're only allowed to see this narrow channel and evaluate this narrow channel based on narrow abstract principles of equality, etc. And what this essentially does is it changes the whole purpose of the gospel. It changes the whole purpose of Christian teaching to creating this egalitarian world on earth. And that's just, I would identify that as false teaching. That's just not what the Bible is trying to do. And so there's a number of different ways in which false teaching comes into the church. Through social justice, it changes the hierarchies that God has ordained, the created order. It flips those things on its head. It also changes a Christian ethic. Christians believe in equality before the law. This replaces it with an egalitarian kind of equality. And so there's various things that are in error. Some of them you may be able to categorize as secondary, but I think most of them actually strike at the heart of, with many Christians not realizing it, they strike at the heart of Christian teaching. If you're striking at the created design, if you are striking at the purpose of the gospel, if you're adding to the gospel, if you're striking at objective truth, I'm sorry, that's false teaching. And pretty much every social justice, I think I'd be comfortable saying every single person pushing social justice teaching in the church has adopted at least one of these elements somewhere along the line to some extent. So I don't have a problem saying that someone who is introducing social justice teaching in the church is introducing false teaching. And I go into this more in the book that should be coming out soon, Christianity and Social Justice, Religions in Conflict. And so you can look forward to that. I know I've been teasing, I've been posting some cover book art and table of contents and these kinds of things. But that's where I come down. So I don't view this as a secondary issue. I view this as where the battle is today, and the battle is the hottest. And I know there's a quote attributed to Martin Luther, and I'm summarizing it, but basically, you want to be fighting where the battle is the hottest. So, and if you're not, you're not really in the battle. So I want to explain to you why I come down where I come down, why I not only view this as a threat to the gospel, why I'm very comfortable identifying people who push this stuff as false teachers. And it's nothing personal, it's nothing mean, it's just a categorical evaluation based on biblical truth and comparing it to social justice teaching. And so I don't focus on whether or not they're brothers or not. I don't think their final destination is the issue. I think it's the teaching. And that's where the emphasis of Scripture, I believe, is. And I want to explain that to you. So repeatedly throughout the Old Testament, the false prophets are evaluated by their teachings, not their future destination. Deuteronomy 18, Ezekiel 13, Jeremiah 14, the list goes on. If they make a prophecy, if it doesn't come true, they are a false prophet. This carries into the New Testament, this emphasis on teaching. Matthew 24, great signs and wonders they'll perform to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Deception is the name of the game. Matthew 16, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's the teachings. Acts 20, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. Men will arise and distort the truth. Again, it's the distortion of truth, the teaching. 1 John 4, test the spirits so you know whether they're from God or not. How do you do that? You focus on their teaching. Matthew 7, watch out. By their fruit you will know them. Again, teaching. And in this, and I wanted to make this as well, I'm going to show you some other verses, this attachment. Often accompanying teaching are lifestyle things as well. They're sinful character issues. Titus 1, elders are supposed to refute those who contradict. So oftentimes in the social justice movement, we're talking about celebrity pastors, we're talking about Christian leaders. They should have these qualifications down. They should have elder qualifications. And one of the qualifications is to be able to identify false teachings. And I'm not talking about those who are introducing the false teaching. I'm talking about those who are unable to identify it. That's a disqualifier. You should be able to see clearly this is false teaching. And social justice teaching, I'm sorry, it is false teaching. And if you can't identify it, I'm concerned about that if someone has a hard time identifying that. Now, I realize we all have blind areas. We all can be temporarily even not understanding what something totally is, but that's a call that's when we need to do our homework. We need to get in the Word of God and we need to understand what someone's saying. We need to understand the false teaching we're up against. It's like if you were in a Muslim culture, if you were in the Middle East, you would want to know what Islam teaches, right? 2 Peter 2, those who secretly introduce destructive heresies, denying the Lord, teaching, but that's also associated with greed. There's also character flaws with these people. Pharisees, constantly identified as hypocrites, Matthew 23. And so there's a lot of character traits. There's a lot of things in Scripture that show us that accompany false teaching, but it's the emphasis every single time is on the teaching. It's these people are introducing error, lies, twisting the truth. And so when someone does that, I look at what they're doing and I say, that's false teaching. And this is a false teacher, if that's something that they're doing. And I do see that there's a place for repentance. You can repent of this. I see even, you know, in Galatians when Peter was confronted by Paul and all he was doing was he was being unclear, it says, about the gospel. He was being, he was not being straightforward, depending on your translation. And Peter confronts him to his face. That was enough for him to confront him. And so I think that we need to be more aggressive about this stuff. And this doesn't mean being nitpicky. This means understanding first, what are the essential doctrines? And then when those things are threatened, then you confront those things. Even if it's a matter of, we're not clear on this. If you're not clear on it, ask questions, confront it. There's podcasts I've done where I'm just saying, I don't know where this guy's going, but he's very unclear here and it's dangerous because if he means what I think he might mean, it can be bad. So I realize we're dealing with postmodernists, we're dealing with a lot of lack of clarity, a lot of murkiness sometimes, but other times it's clear, guys. It's very clear. With Tim Keller, it's clear. With Walter Strickland, it's clear. With Jarvis Williams, it's clear. There's so many, it's just so clear. And I don't have a problem calling people false teachers. I don't think the emphasis in Scripture, though, is on whether or not to say they're Christians or they're not Christians. We have a Matthew 18 process, and then at the end of that, you can call them Gentiles and tax gatherers, of course, which I would say is basically they're outside the faith. But again, that's not the emphasis. When we're dealing with false teaching and false teachers, if you call someone that, it doesn't mean that, you know, oh my goodness, you're saying that they're going to hell, so therefore you're being mean and you don't have the right to do that kind of thing. That you don't find that in Scripture. It's don't even get on that discussion. Just ask whether or not what they're saying is true or not. That's the issue. And then, of course, we always want to give people the chance to repent. God does that, right? God gives people the chance to repent, and so people have that opportunity. But that's where I come down on it. So I hope that was clarifying for some of you why I approach things the way I approach them with false teaching and false teachers in the church. And more coming later this week. God bless. Bye now.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.